newspapers. I've been reading the newspapers, and it talks about the shortage of food. It talks about the increase of oil. It talks about the increase of people's rent. It talks about the devaluing of the American dollar and the rising of other currencies. It kind of makes you nervous if you don't know who the Lord is. The latest thing is, after Aloha Airline closed, they had that the other side opened the cargo, and the cargo could still work. They had a group from the mainland that was going to purchase them. But then they started to have problems from the senior pilots who were flying all passengers. Now that because the passenger service was done away with, all there was a cargo. So now they wanted to bump the junior pilots who were the cargo pilots. And so the company had to go through a whole lot. Then they threw a twist into the contract that was going to be between the new buyers to take over Aloha Airlines, and it all fell through. So now everything of Aloha is gone. You know, just because some people they decided they're going to strike and they didn't want, it's really sad. You know, and today's the time where, as people, we need to have enough wisdom in us to understand that God, will allow things to happen. And many times it's going to happen because we need to be taught a lesson. How much we need to become so dependent on God and not be dependent on the world and the world system. There's a lot of oil in this world, but it's being hoarded. There's a lot of food in this world, and it's being hoarded. I'm going to share something else with you. There's a lot of gospel in this world, and it's being hoarded. Because if we got the gospel to go out into the world, we can transform this world in a matter of hours, if not days. We're going to prove it from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the previous things spoken about here shall be added unto you." The Amplified says, "But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things previously spoken, taken together, will be given to you besides." Heavenly Father, over the next several minutes, if you'd touch us, if you'd give us insights, if you'd allow revelation to flow, I believe we can not only teach those who are here, but those listening to this audio transmission. We thank you, Lord, for revelation. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is our divine teacher. We thank you for Holy Spirit allowing us to be introduced to Jesus Christ, who has become our Lord and our Savior. For the masterful plan that you have, Abba, we are so grateful that you've included us and not excluded us. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus, in setting the people up there on what is called the Mount of Beatitudes, beginning in Matthew chapter 5, begins to now extol to them and begin to teach them about what kingdom living is all about. Notice, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Let's digress a little bit here. The Bible says, "Seeing the multitudes," verse 1, "Jesus went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him. Then Jesus opened his mouth and he began to expound. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" Notice that. He begins to take them from this earthly realm to a heavenly realm. Verse number 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now, these people who heard him understood what comforting the mourners were, because they attended many, many funeral services. But is that what he was talking about? Verse number 4, in the Amplified says, "Blessed and enviably happy, and a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." That just turns the whole thing right there. Because when you understand the grace of God, then you know during your mourning process, it is the grace of God that's going to carry you through. Then he says in verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." He talks about an inheritance for a particular group of people who happen to be meek, not weak. Meek means they have their strength, that they have restrained. They put their strengths down to become meek individuals. Moses was a meek individual. He was very strong in character, very strong spirited, but he became meek in that he allowed himself to be used by God. And those who spoke out against Moses in the natural would never have done that if Moses was just the natural man. But because he was a spiritual individual, his meekness allowed them to get away with things. Korah and everybody else who rose up against Moses would have never challenged Moses had he not been a meek man. So the Bible says here in chapter 5, verse 5, Amplified, blessed, happy, blissful, joyous, spiritually prosperous, and with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. See, that should be us, right? Regardless as to our outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, the patient, the long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. So if you're antsy and you always want to get in a hurry, guess the meek doesn't include you, but you have to have long-suffering. You must be patient. Then he goes on to say, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now in the Amplified, it says, blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which that born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's uprightness and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. So there is a satisfaction that comes with serving the Lord. Now, I want you to note, he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's not talking about, for those of you who live in Israel, all these things would apply to you. He's talking about kingdom principles. And when we read the Word of God, we have to understand many, many things, okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talks to us about the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was setting people up. During his ministry, he was setting people up, not for their extended time on earth while they lived as Jewish individuals or citizens of Rome, but he was pushing them towards another kingdom. But Jesus, the Bible says, he said, don't think I came here to knock out the law. I came here to fulfill the law. So you need to actually look at it as being this. All of what Moses did, everybody up to Jesus, it was culminated. So Jesus came to close out the chapter or the writings of the law and start something new. That something new is called kingdom living. They never got this in the book of Joshua. They never got this in the book of Judges. They never got this in the book of Kings or Chronicles. They never got it in the Psalms. But now we understand. When you jump now from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you get into the book of the Acts of the Apostles, now you see kingdom living. Now you understand kingdom living, kingdom living, kingdom living. Without Jesus, being by your side, in the flesh, kingdom living. Jesus consistently taught his disciples, and they couldn't grasp hold to this. So when Jesus in John chapter 3 spoke to Nicodemus, he says, do not marvel that I say unto you, you need a second birth. You must be born again. So the only way, see, all these people he was addressing here already had their natural birth. So he's speaking to them about something else that's going to happen. And I've said this before, and you can bear record of this as you study the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus only referred to the church on maybe two or three occasions. Other than that, he was talking about the kingdom. So as we said before, the church is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is totally different. The kingdom of God is something that we're going to look at it tonight as we study the Word of God. That when we understand, when we can comprehend what the kingdom of God is, it will not be difficult for us to expound on what the kingdom of God is to others. Show you something else here in Matthew chapter 5. Watch what it says over here. Verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Same scripture verse, amplified. Blessed and happy and enviably fortunate and spiritually prosperous in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of his outward conditions, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So you're going to be persecuted for being right, and you're going to be persecuted for doing right. The question I need to ask you right now is, are you experiencing this? As a believer in Yeshua, are you experiencing this? Whether at home, on the job, with your family, with friends, are you, because you're being right, you're being right in the Word of God, does that cause others to rise up against you? It does me. What is the Lord telling us here? He's telling us, you're on track. You're on track. On track for what? You're on track for kingdom living. Kingdom living. Now, I'll show you something else right here. Verse number 13. You are the salt of the earth. For if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. Verse 13 in the Amplified says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, its strength, its quality. If you've lost your strength, your taste, your quality, you're no longer salt. Salt that is not salty cannot be called salt anymore. You know, you work out, you perspire, you lose a lot of salt. So you have to put back salt before you start catching cramps and other things. On a ball team, when they run the men, they run the women, they run them, and then they have to give them salt tabs if they don't watch out, because they're perspiring so much. When they play football, we do 3-a-days, and you perspire so much, all you do is drink water, but water doesn't give you salt. Water quenches your thirst, but it's not, water in and of itself is not enough. So you need to replace that which you lost. So the salt needs to come back in you. How do you do it? The world is losing things every day. If we are the salt of the earth, we Christians are the salt of the earth, we should be adding to this world that which they're losing. We should be adding to the ministry that which it is losing. There's a depletion that goes on every day. Every single day. There's a depletion that goes on in our life, around our life, for our life, through our life, and against our life. What's this depletion? You run your car. You just fill up your gas. Leave the engine running. What's going to happen? Your gasoline will deplete. So there's this constant action that's going on right now. This constant action that's going on in the heavenlies. It's coming against your mindset. It's coming against what you think. It comes against what you teach. It comes against what you believe. So there's a depletion. You have to fill up. You can't just hear the word of God once. Faith cometh by hearing. You need to continually fill yourself up. You can never tap out with the word of God, because there's this constant depletion. If I'm teaching, I've got to make sure I put back inside what I have depleted. And this is how it is when we, as believers, go about, we share with somebody. You know, you sit down, God allows you to share with somebody, and you pour your heart out to them, and you touch them, and they're receiving. What you don't see is your gauge has just gone down. You're below half tank already. So you need to take the time, hence, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. There's a lot of people who have been functioning 6 days now. Now the day for them to come to church, for them to be stored up, to be refueled, they skip it. They go to the mall. They go to the beach. They go to somewhere else. Now they're functioning at where? They're at a very critical danger point in their life. I don't care how long you've been saved. You cannot stay away from fellowship or be out of the presence of God. You cannot create your own presence of God either. You cannot just say, well, I'm going to sit with myself and I enjoy just spending my Selah time. That's bogus. No. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. As what? The manner of those who think they don't need to be what everybody else is. So when we come together like this, we're all hearing like this gathering right now. I'm speaking to all of you, but I'm quite sure you're all hearing this differently. Because I don't know how low you have been depleted. But my job now is to come and bring enough fuel to fill you up. So that it'll help you on your next day's journey. I'm not teaching you for a week. I'm teaching you for a day. Because after that, we're going to come back and fill up again. You know, sometimes when I let my truck run down, now with the price of gas, I try not to let it run down too much. But when it goes on to a certain level, I'm like, I better fill up now, because I never had to put $75 of gas in my car. Now I do. You know, I'm looking at that, and I'm like, and the gas price of gas is going to go up. And they're saying, you know what you need to do? Get a smaller car. But I don't fit good in a smaller car. So I'm going to keep my car and make a plan. Okay, now if we're going to go to the store, we're going to plan it better. We're not just going to be running around. We're going to plan this thing out. That makes sense, right? Why? Because you don't want to deplete something unnecessarily. We don't have to check mail every day. Let's check mail every 3 days. See, what do you do? You just make a minor adjustment. My life's not going to be changed and ruined by that. Christians are the hardest people to get to make changes. I mean, we can tell the people how we were saved and everything. And God's asking you to make a minor change in your life, just a slight alteration. And we have every excuse under his sun as to why we cannot do it. But if you don't watch out, if you don't make that necessary change, your depletion will be even greater. Look at those. I don't know how people can just over once a week receive the word and then keep them for 6 more days. As somebody who dispenses, I'm a tanker. As a tanker who dispenses the word, I gotta constantly go back to the terminal and fuel up. I spend time fueling up. I'm fueling up. And you know, sometimes I have to pour it into 10 tanks, one tank, 100 tanks, go on radio, thousands of tanks. I can't go on the radio with an empty tanker and try to help somebody, because there are people out there pulling, especially those who understand the importance of pulling. Do you know when a tanker, gas tanker, goes up to a filling station, it pulls in, This tanker is heavy laden with fuel. You got unleaded, you got all, you know, all the different grades, right? It goes in there. The guy stops the truck, or the gal stops the truck, secures everything, shuts everything down. Now, goes, puts on his glove and their glove and everything. Now they go to every place where all the different types of fuel is going to be dropped into. Secure, gets all the holes, connects everything, secures it properly. Secures it properly, make sure it doesn't leak. Everything happens. Then begins to dispense. They check to see how much we'll need, then they begin to dispense. Once they dispense, they look at their meters and they stop it. After they take it off, they check again to make sure they dropped enough. Everything's topped off. They put things away. A big tank is not going to drop the load in 10 minutes. You know how many cars can come into that filling station and fill up while the tank is dropping their load? Why is that? Because that tank, in proportion, is carrying enough fuel to run 1,000 cars. So while one tanker comes in to drop everything, you can have a stream of cars coming in and loading up. Now, if that continues to happen, you know what's going to happen? They're going to have to pull that tanker out and order more fuel to come in behind if the line goes out on the street. That's how it should be in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God should never run out of fuel. Never run out of fuel. I don't understand how ministers find it difficult to always constantly refuel the saints. You got to refuel them. And you have to show them the importance of refueling. We have fighter jets that fly from here. They can fly around the world, really. But let's say they can fly from here to California. These fighter jets cannot fly that far on a single tank of gas. So what happens? Before the jets goes, they send out KC-10s. KC-10s are DC-10 aircrafts that has nothing but fuel. They have their crew. They fly out. They're about an hour ahead of these boys. Once this jet is way ahead, these guys come from behind. They run out of fuel, and they all come behind the KC-10, and they line them up, and they refuel them in the air, and they continue to fly. That's all that tanker's job is in the air. It has enough fuel for itself in its wings, but the fuel in the fuselage, the rest of the place, is for the fighter jets following. This is how when we bombed in Libya, we bombed in Iraq. Whenever we bombed them, we sent our planes from Montana. Midwest, from Montana, they took off. These B-1, B-2 bombers took off, and they were refueled coming over, just over the Atlantic. They refueled them. They refueled it, went down there, they bombed, they turned around, they refueled them in the air again. These boys never touched the ground. They refueled them four times before they came back and landed in Montana. Ingenuity of man. If man can do that, keep you running, right? Write the vision, make it plain so that those who read it may continue to not stop, just keep going. Get their fuel, keep refueling. And going with what God wants us to do. He says here, you're the salt of the earth. But if you've lost your savor, you're good for nothing. How can its saltiness be restored? You cannot make salt again. They throw it out. That's what he said. It's good for nothing to be thrown out. So this is why we need to understand the importance of our salvation. Our salvation is very, very important. All right, so we're going to talk about accessing the kingdom of God. Accessing the kingdom of God. Very, very important. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what? His righteousness. Aim at, strive after, first of all, God's kingdom, his righteousness. That's his way of doing and being right. Then all the previous things the Lord spoke, you can read about there in Matthew chapter 6 previously, taken together, will be given you besides. So don't ever think after all that you've done for the Lord, you're not going to get compensated. The most accurate bookkeeper you can find, his name is God. He got every ledger down. You know, in doing this thing for my brother's trust, I have to keep an accurate ledger of everything. Every transpire that goes on, I got to have it on record to protect myself if the IRS asks for it, or if the family members who's going to be beneficiaries are going to wonder what happened. Right here, I got proof right here. Proof. I don't fabricate anything. Proof is right here. Dates, times, everything right here. And this is what God does. He keeps the date. He keeps the time. Everything that you do in this life. Jesus says, I will bless you in this life and the life to come. That's why for me, my mindset, no matter what I do in the kingdom, no matter what I do for the kingdom, I know I already can get paid. I know my payoff is coming. Because I already have that relationship with the Lord. I don't have to second guess this. I understand this. Whenever you hear about a kingdom, I want to share some things with you. Whenever you hear about a kingdom, you must begin to get the mindset of what it truly is. What is a kingdom? Write that down. What is a kingdom? So I want to give you a very simple illustration. Not difficult for you to understand. And I'm going to break it down to make it a little bit more plainer also. Hawaii was once an independent kingdom. Do you agree with that? Okay. History clearly tells us. Hawaii was an independent kingdom that operated by its what? Own kingdom rules. So Hawaii as a kingdom, the kingdom of Hawaii, operated by kingdom rules. We had an 1840 constitution. The constitution talks about the monarchy. The king controlled everything. He had nobles he could talk to, but basically everything was the king's. The king called the shot. That's the kingdom of Hawaii. Now, if you came from Samoa, you can say, well, we don't do that in Samoa. You know what we tell you? Well, this is not Samoa. This is the kingdom of Hawaii. Now watch, I want to share this with you. We had our own currency. If you came here, you seen a Hawaiian dollar. You seen a Hawaiian currency. If you came here, you found out the Hawaiian kingdom had their own language. What else? The Hawaiian kingdom had their own culture. The Hawaiian kingdom had their own religious background. The Hawaiian kingdom had their own arts. The Hawaiian kingdom did what it wanted to do. It had their own sovereign leaders. It didn't matter if you hated us. If you came to Hawaii, this is the kingdom of Hawaii. So what else do we see? Anyone desirous of coming here had to adapt to our ways. You can tell me, well, in France, we don't do things like that in France. Well, you know what? This is not France. This is Hawaii. So you have to adhere to the rules of the kingdom. It's called kingdom engagement. If another sovereign kingdom wanted to have diplomatic relationships with the kingdom of Hawaii, they would have to contact our government and they would have to lay out specific things. And upon proposing their transactions, land would be set aside to set up an embassy for this kingdom wanting to come into the kingdom of Hawaii. So now they have this land that now becomes the territory, the kingdom of that new, let's say, France. France comes here and they want to set up an embassy. Now watch, this is very, very interesting. Once they have the plot of ground, that becomes, in essence, France. Now, we know that's not France because France is thousands of miles away. But out of diplomatic relationship, this is the clear understanding. This is France. This is the French embassy. Now the building goes up and everything is done. Now what happens? What happens to the embassy? That area literally becomes that nation operating in Hawaii. Their ambassador was representing their leadership and peoples here in our nation. So now you got the French embassy here with a man that speaks, or woman that speaks French. But now because they're here in Hawaii, they better learn how to speak Hawaiian. Because we're not going to learn how to speak French. You're in our home. If I go to your home, then mi casa, su casa, right? Your house is my house, but I have to adhere by your rules. Well, now that you're here in Hawaii, Frenchman, guess what? Learn Hawaiian. Learn our ways. You have to do it. Unless you go back to your property and you can speak all the French you want. But as long as you're in our, you step outside your domain, this is kingdom rules of the Hawaiian kingdom. Now watch this. The embassy, watch, would be provided by their nation, provided for by their nation. The French embassy could be here in Honolulu and they desire to eat escargot. They got all the escargot they want. All they got to do is ship it in. If they want to eat fries, French fries, they can get all that they want. If they want a croissant, whatever they want, whatever they were tasty for and wanting and long for from their home, they could get it here. I'll ship it in. Because their nation will make sure their embassy is properly cared for. Food, drinks, entertainment, medical assistance. If the French ambassador wanted to go downtown, they wouldn't call a cab. They'd have their own transportation. They'd have their own driver. Why is that? It's kingdom living. We're talking about accessing the kingdom of God. They had their own housing. They didn't have to go out there and rent a house. They had their own housing. What else did they have? They had their own security. That's kingdom living. This is seen every single day. Wherever America goes and establishes an embassy, our people there are safe. Now watch, I want to show you something. Although the embassy was thousands of miles away from their country, the property they were on was actually considered soil of their nation. And not even the host nation could trespass on it. No matter how big Hawaii was in comparison to the French embassy, we couldn't even encroach on their property. That's actually an act of war. The United States Embassy in the Philippines, in China, in Israel, the United States Embassy in Jordan, in Canada. I was in Jordan 1 year. And so they built a new embassy for the U.S. And so they wanted to have certain kind of ice cream that only has in America. So they flew a wide-body Air Force jet that brought in nothing but ice cream. So what does that tell you? The embassy may make requests, and it doesn't matter how much it's going to cost. If they deem it necessary, they got it. It's approved from the president. If the president's going to go there, much more they're going to spruce up the area. So now, when I was in Jordan, they had this brand new U.S. embassy, and the tour guide was like, this is the new embassy for you Americans. You didn't want your old one, so you build a new one. And they're all disgruntled because we're king, right? You didn't want your old one that now another nation has bought from you, and now you have this new one, and you would even fly your own ice cream in here because our ice cream in Jordan is not good enough for you. And I said, that's right. That's right. See, why are you mad with us? Because, listen, our embassy and the people who work there got the rights. If they want something from America, they're a call away. They're an email away. That's the rights of being part of the embassy. Okay? Now we're going to turn this. We're going to turn this on every single one of us. The embassy in a foreign country wants to watch CNN news. They got the satellite. They got the satellite dish. But you're in a foreign nation. So what? That's America in Saudi Arabia. That's America in Israel. That's America in Jordan. That's America in China. It doesn't matter where you're located. Just like the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. If the word of God is not bound, then the kingdom of God is not bound. Do you know when we open up embassies around the world, it is the United States Marine Corps that provides security 24/7 and every day of the year. We don't go hire a whacking hut. We don't have all these guys from the airport come guarding our embassy. Shoot, we got the military. We got the United States Marine Corps. And that's why they tell you when you travel to a foreign nation as a U.S. citizen, your passport tells you, check in with your nearest embassy. Because if anything goes wrong, pick up the phone. You belong to the nation called the United States of America. You got the full military power behind you. It's powerful. It's called citizenship. That's just the natural. Now, the natural kingdom is what you see with your eyes. What about the kingdom you cannot see with your eyes? What do you belong to? Well, we're going to go through the scriptures and let's find out some things. Is this okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Here's point number one. The kingdom of God is within you as a believer. Luke chapter 17. Investigating the word of God is going to give us great, great, great opportunities to touch others with this word. Look at me, if you will, at verse number 21. Luke chapter 17, verse number 21. I actually want to take the latter part, but I'll read it in its entirety. Well, let me go to verse number 20, bring it all together. When he was demanded of the Pharisees, listen to this. When the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, see, the Pharisees, he got their attention. They said, okay, so when is this kingdom coming? Remember, they said, Lord, are you going to restore our kingdom? Will we still be under Roman rule? No, he said, watch. The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. He says, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. What else did he say? For behold, what? The kingdom of God is what? Within you. Another way of saying it is, the kingdom of God is among you. So now let's look at it in the Amplified. The Bible says, nor will people say, look here it is, or see, it is here, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. Psst, look around you. All born-again believers, kingdom of God. Now, you know what that should make us do? Treat them better. You don't mistreat ambassadors. You do not mistreat ambassadors. We have a problem within the body of Christ. We don't respect ambassadors and we mistreat them. Do you know the ambassador is just one phone call away from the leader of the nation? That ambassador can pick up the phone in the kingdom of God, it's praying, and say, Abba, we have a problem. And immediately he got the attention of he who designed the universe. Not George Bush, who's somewhere around the world that cannot be reached. We're talking about God. So the kingdom of God is within you and I as believers. So what kind of clout does that give us? Well, it doesn't give us the right to go out there and just challenge people. It doesn't give us the right to go out there and flaunt it. But according to the word of God, as ambassadors, there's a protocol you must keep. There's a certain way for you to behave, certain way for you to speak, first, certain way for you to walk, certain way for you to act. This is all protocol in the kingdom of God. And we're talking about accessing the kingdom of God. See, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a lot of people who are saved, but they're totally clueless to the kingdom of God. They're totally clueless. Teachings like this, I'm beginning to think now, teachings like this should really be given to those who just got saved. Because when they just got saved, that's when you can begin to wean them off the old system and bring them on the new system. But the problem we find is that those who should know this don't know this, so now we have to teach the older ones about what kingdom living is and what accessing the kingdom is all about so that they can hopefully catch on and they can go out and help somebody else. This is kingdom living. Kingdom living is not speaking in tongues. Kingdom living is not prophesying. That's all gravy. That's all condiments. That's all it is, condiments. I'm not despising prophesying. I love prophesying. But the bottom line is people make so much of the prophetic that they live a pathetic life. How can you do that? Speak so much about prophesying when you yourself are a liar. You can't do that. So that's why we coined the phrase prophesy. You know, don't do this. They turn the word prophet and they misspell it. Now, they change the spelling at the conclusion. It's P-R-O-F-I-T now, prophet. They're profiting. Yeah, they're profiting from the kingdom. That's not a true ambassador. You know what happens? When the government finds out their ambassador is not living a good lifestyle, when the government finds out their ambassador has breached everything protocol said they're supposed to do, it's not headlines, but they go in there and they pull them out and they replace them. Everything goes on without a hitch. Why is that? They bring this person back and say, why did you do those things? You didn't have that ability to do that. You're there to represent us. You're not us. You represent us. See, this is where within the kingdom, people have not learned this. So most of the people you're going to talk to are born again. They really are. They're born again. Those who go to church, they're born again. But they're clueless to the kingdom. If you were to just ask them simple questions, okay, define the kingdom of God to me. Well, the kingdom of God, that's when Jesus come back. Jesus going to bring the kingdom with him. Oh, really? So define this scripture to us then. See, we need to understand Jesus closed out the old system and opened the new. Calvary opened the new system. Calvary opened. I'm going to share something with you folks. When you hear Christians say, we don't believe healing is for today, we don't believe in apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for today, we don't believe all these things, guess what they're not doing? Living according to the kingdom. Ephesians 4 and 11 is not found in Matthew, is it? Is Ephesians 4 and 11 found in Luke, John? No, it's not. It's found in Ephesians. So all of that is what? Kingdom living. That's all kingdom living. So how can you say just because you go to whatever church that you don't believe healing is for today? That's kingdom living. So you know what we can actually say? We have broke people in the body of Christ who should understand that in the kingdom you should never be broke. We got actually people in the kingdom of God, or I should say really in the body of Christ, who have not really taken out, have not gone to the kingdom to find out what is rightfully theirs. They're sick when they shouldn't have to be sick, because in God's kingdom, they don't have to be sick. You got despondent people who go to church, but in the kingdom of God, no despondency. So now you have to make a choice. So you know what they'll do? Because they're all cop-outs. They'll say, well, I don't believe that's really for us. See, now you're doubting. How come Jesus touched people and he healed them? He was showing them the next kingdom that I'm setting up, the kingdom I'm setting up. That's how you should live. In fact, not only am I going to do this, I'm going to show you how you can do this. So now in the kingdom, we're talking about accessing the kingdom of God. Point number two, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. Every believer, point two, every believer is an ambassador. Every believer is an ambassador. I'm not the ambassador because I'm the apostle of the church. You're an ambassador. We are all ambassadors. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, I'm in the Amplified, as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives, that's an ambassador, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. So as ambassadors, we're out there appealing to others. Listen to me. We have to also appeal to other ambassadors. Be reconciled to God. Come home and find out what you're supposed to be. It makes no sense for you to keep worrying. I'm going to change this illustration. It makes no sense for you to keep going around being hungry when God has all the food at your disposal. It makes no sense. Because there are people who continue to live in a certain way when it doesn't matter. It doesn't make sense. If God gives you, listen, God's not tapped out. He got everything you need. You know who got more oil than the Saudis and all the Arabs combined? God. How difficult would it be for God to do this to the planet? Watch now. Watch this. I'm using the illustration. This is the planet, right? He tilts it. And he makes all the oil run in that one area all one to the nation of Israel. How hard would it be for God? America is getting earthquakes like they've never seen before. Jesus said, diverse places. Earthquakes in diverse places. Reno, Nevada. Foods all fall off the shelves. Earthquake rocked them. They're getting earthquakes in the Midwest. Never had earthquakes. North Carolina, never had earthquakes. All happening now. Finally, to America, it's happening a lot. So what happens? Side note. Look at this table as being an altar. Okay? Watch this. This is the altar. This is the offering. I put the offering on the altar. What is greater? The offering or the altar? The what?
Altar.
Okay, the altar. Now watch this. The one presenting the offering, if the life is dirty, pollutes the altar. What is greater? The altar or the offering? The offering or the altar? What's your answer? Altar. Okay, now watch. So the dirty guy now brings the clean offering and puts it on the altar, which he's connected to. So now he makes this a dirty offering. America is a dirty altar. Everything placed in America pollutes the sacrifice. So anybody tied into America, yeah, and knowingly understanding that pollution, and let me define pollution. I don't mean something in the air or on the ground. Pollution. Our leaders are corrupt. Our leaders knowingly killing people. Knowingly doing it for filthy lucre's sake, for money's sake. If we continue to be a part of this, we, the kingdom of God, what we call the church. If we continue to be a part of this, God's not receiving anything that we're sacrificing. And that's why we're spinning wheels and we're going in circles. So as an ambassador, it is now your responsibility to make sure the altar is pure. The altar must always remain pure. For God to receive from us, our altars must always remain pure. If you have an impure servant at a pure altar, you now have an impure altar. Why? It's the servant placing the gift. So George W., we know what he's doing. He goes around and he moves and does all these things that's against the will of God. Now, how can we sing, God bless America, land that I love? He's not going to bless America. Because everything is being attributed to, it goes right back to the leader. If the leader's impure, then everything else is impure. This is why it's important for you to pray for leadership. Because one way the enemy can ruin the body of Christ, can ruin the kingdom of God, in essence, I'm going to give you just an example, is if the leaders become tainted. That's why as leaders, we have to constantly monitor ourselves. When we say pray for us, we don't mean, I have this special prayer request. No, you got to pray that we don't ever get polluted. And if we do get polluted, we will get ourselves clean so we can return back and now what? Become clean when we offer up the sacrifice, when we offer up whatever God tells us at the altar. See, this is very, very important. In the book of Malachi, it says, they said the table of God is contemptible. Well, how can you make the table of God contemptible unless the one offering it up is contemptible? How can you have a polluted table of God? You cannot have a polluted table of God unless those who were doing it, and God killed them. Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, they were the ones that were impure, trying to offer up pure things. God struck them dead. Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, they were offering impure things. God said, I'm going to kill them. Now, thank God for grace. But let's say if you're the one supposed to be dispensing the things of God and you have impurity in your life and God just chose to strike you dead, we can put you in heaven all we want. Not understanding why you died like you died. But we need to understand the love of God. The Bible says the love of God constraineth us. God loves us so much. He'll go after us. He'll hunt us down. He'll bring us out. Doesn't matter if we drank 10 cases of tequila. God still loves us. He wants to sober you up and bring you back to reality. I love drunkards. I love prostitutes. I love gamblers. I love drug addicts. I don't like what you're doing, though. So when somebody falls, the best thing you can do is help pray them back in. Encourage them. Yeah, come back. It's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. See, when we understand this, then we'll have a clear understanding as ambassadors. Listen to me. When you became born again, Jesus Christ is now Lord and Savior of your life. You ever notice he didn't kill you and take you to heaven to be his ambassador? But he left you here on this planet to be his ambassador? Why? Because the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. He needs you here more than he needs you in heaven. Forget those people who tell you, oh, God took them because God needed them in heaven. Negative. We're ambassadors here. We're not ambassadors in heaven. So God needs his ambassadors here, and our church is an embassy where we come to receive the instructions from Abba. Then we get out there and impact the world. It's point number three. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at me, if you will, at verse number 7. It says, however, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. What's our point here? We have kingdom treasures in these earthen vessels. Here we're waiting on some big starship Galactica to come down and negative. You're the kingdom. And I can tell you right now, sometimes you don't even feel like you're kingdom material. Sometimes you don't even feel like, how can God use me? I am the least of, you know what? That's when you got to hush your mouth, because that's an outside voice coming over the embassy's wall trying to tell you how no good you are, when the inside of the embassy is telling you, with the scriptures on the wall and everything around you, the word standing tall, telling you who you are. You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador. And you have treasures of the kingdom in your earthen vessels. You begin to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You begin to prophesy over people and it shall come to pass. You begin to do the great exploits because you know your God. Colossians chapter 1. I'll show you something else. Colossians chapter 1. Here's point number 4. Well, I love this. Colossians chapter 1. Wait till you see this scripture verse. Goodness gracious. Verse number 27, Colossians chapter 1. Look what it says here. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And here's the mystery. Here's the mystery he wants to reveal to you. Colossians 1, verse 27. Look what it says here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, I already told you, according to the scripture verse in 2 Corinthians 4:7, you have this treasure, the kingdom treasure in earthen vessels, and now that treasure is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Amplified says, to whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ within and among you. Hey, that's the kingdom, right? The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is among you. Christ within and among you, the hope of realizing the glory. Oh, we're going to hear different talking now. We're going to hear people talking like they should. We're going to hear people walking around as ambassadors saying, how you doing, Madam Ambassador? How do you do, Mr. Ambassador? So what's the report from the kingdom today, Madam Ambassador? I was just on the line with the king, and he says all is well. In fact, in the upcoming trip that he'll have us take, he wants you to know he's already sent things before us. And whatever we have need of will already be laid out for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about kingdom security. Hey, you're thinking, well, I'm in a kingdom. How secure am I? What do you mean, how secure are you? Let me show you what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Powerful stuff right there. Next verse says, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. That's powerful stuff right there. That's powerful stuff. When we understand just who we are. And what do we sing this song? Because of who you are. What? I give you glory. Because of who you are, we give you praise. We got a security force that's so powerful. I don't care what America taunts us with. You know, let me tell you something right now. The Chinese has killed so many people who are Christians, and to their dismay, Christianity is growing. India couldn't kill enough Christians because Christianity is spreading throughout India. This is why when God is now speaking to third world nations, he's saying, go to the nation that once taught you about my son. This is why God right now has told us, see all the places I sent you to? You've put into these people's heart how to preach, how to teach, what the kingdom of God is. Now turn around and you take that same fervor and go to America. I have opened up nations to you in America. Do you know, listen to me, do you know, thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you know that when you go into America, we can go to like Michigan, and we can in one area in Traverse City, we can have Native Americans from 10 different tribes. 10 different tribes is 10 different nations. Now God says, I'll have you go there. I want you guys to purchase your equipment. You purchase your cars, purchase your SUVs, and now I want you to travel. I want you to go from Michigan. I want you to go to Wisconsin. I want you to go from Wisconsin. I want you to go to Montana. I want you to go from Montana. I want you to go to South Dakota. I want you to go from South Dakota. I want you to go to Tennessee. And we're on wheels. We're driving. Before, we have to drive to one nation or fly to a nation. Now we can drive to a nation. And these people are hearing from God. It's like the guy who I met in the Pala tribe. And he said to me, "Grandma told us you're coming." "Oh, yeah. Grandma described you. Grandma said, this man, when he comes, he's going to speak. You're going to hear him. Very knowledgeable. But he's speaking from his heart, not speaking from his head. And Grandma told us to be ready when you come, because the things that you're going to share with us." I said, "Well, I got so excited. I said, oh, can I see Grandma?" "Oh, Grandma's been dead for 10 years. For 10 years, they're waiting for me to show up, saints. 10 years. 10 years they were waiting. God never told me they were waiting. He told them, I'm sending him. This is why we cannot miss these times when God sets us up to go. Because it becomes times of refreshing for those when we show up. Very important for you to know. Every dance you dance, I wrote the thing out today, every dance you dance is a prophetic sign from God to the Native American and everybody else. Because we're all natives. I mean, it doesn't give you from Germany, then you're a native of Germany. But we go over there as indigenous people from a third world nation. And we come here and we begin to minister. We minister, and they'll begin to cry. Because there is hope for us. The word of God must be used against the enemy. That's our security. The word of God must be used against the enemy. When Jesus was confronted by the devil, Matthew chapter 4, on three occasions he used the word of God. Here's point number 6, huh? Philippians chapter 3. Oh, I'm sorry. Number 5 was kingdom security. Point number 6, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Point number 6 is deal with the kingdom of your past. Deal with the kingdom of your past. You may not realize this, but your past was the greatest kingdom you belong to. Oh, I chuckled and I said, "Thank you, Holy Spirit. I got to tell you this before we move on. Listen to me. If you got in your car and you drove, we're on the windward side of Oahu, you drive to Honolulu, you can actually take the off-ramp on Vineyard, and if you turn on A'ala, or you can turn on, you can go down King Street, or you can take Mauna Kea Street, there's a vicinity called what? If you want to buy Mea Ono Pua'a, if you want to buy Paul Cash, what's that area called? Chinatown. Kingdom of God don't have towns like that. So you cannot have a Chinese church. You cannot have a Filipino church. Because no ethnicity in the kingdom. We all one. To the blood of Jesus now, not the blood of Adam. There is no Russian town, no German town. No more. Not in God's kingdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, let's look here. Philippians chapter 3. You have to deal with the kingdom of your past. Oh my goodness, that's very important, yeah? Look with me, if you will, at verse number 13 and 14. "I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration." Watch this. "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize, to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us," where? "Upward." Every day it's a call upward towards you. Every day you're getting closer to going from this earthly sphere to the heavenly one where you'll live forever with the Master. But till then, you're here as his ambassadors, and we have to continue this journey, and you have to deal with the kingdom of your past. So we're walking in the mall. You're going down to the mall. All of a sudden, you hear a song in the mall. And that song transitions you back to your past. And you say, "Well, I remember where I was when that song came up." That's got to be forgotten. Forgetting those things which are behind. See, that's the kingdom of your past. It reminds you, listen, you hear something, it reminds you of a previous relationship. You got to forget those things of the past. That's a powerful kingdom that never wants to die, even though we're in the kingdom of God. You smell a certain perfume or cologne. It triggers you to the kingdom of your past. You just sit down and you saw a movie or a trailer to a movie. You're like, yeah, I remember seeing that when I was with, the past. As long as you keep looking. Now, you know when you drive your car? Watch, listen to me. When you drive your car, whether you drive it one hand or two, when you drive your car, it's okay for you to look outside on your left. It's okay for you to look outside on your right. It's really okay for you to look in the front. But if the majority of your time is spent looking in the rearview mirror, you can get into an accident. Incidentally, the only reason we should look in the rearview mirror is to make sure what's behind us is still behind us. Did you get that? Whatever you saw in your rearview mirror should not be in front of you. You keep looking in your past long enough, it's going to be in front of you. It's pretty hard to go forward by looking in that rearview mirror. So we need to understand how important it is for us to deal with the kingdom of our past. You can probably write five names down right now. Listen, you can write five names down right now. Five names of guys who made you mad, people who made you mad in your past. Five. And if their name was ever brought up in a conversation, if it irks you, you have dealt with the kingdom of your past. If somebody just casually mentioned their name to you and you go, you haven't dealt with the kingdom of your past. This is kingdom living. We're talking about accessing the kingdom of God. Do you agree with this? Wow. There's much more. I'm going to do just one message on the kingdom of your past. But I just want to give that as a teaser there. Okay, number seven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, this is a powerful thing. That one is good. Watch this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh. Here's your point for 1 Corinthians 15. Point number seven. Remove all deception. Remove what? Some? All deception. Look at verse 33, if you will. Let's look at verse number 33. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, be not deceived. Are you ready? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay, let's look at something here in the Amplified. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionship, communion, associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. What's our point here? The word deception, as we see it today, has become so vogue, has become so trendy, because today a lie actually is truth. You're almost encouraged to lie because everybody's doing it. Today, what is vogue is evil, but evil is good. And there might and the church is the one that's not accepting this, by and large, most of the church. Church is given in, though, in many areas. And so the world is like, how can we get these Christians to change? Buddhists don't say nothing about it. Muslims, they don't really say anything about it. But these hardline Christians, these right-wingers, what's wrong with being a right-winger? See, we got to get them to agree that homosexuality is actually good, ordained of God. So what they do? They got preachers who saying it. Because they're reading Bibles who say it's okay. And then they'll confront you with, look, it's in your Bible. No, not in that translation, it's not. See, this is where you need to know who God really is. How do you deal with that? How do you remove all deception? So when we talk about the kingdom of God and accessing the kingdom of God, we're actually trying to show each and every one of us who are here, those listening to this audio transmission, that God has a predescribed plan for us. When a jet's going to fly, when an aircraft's going to fly, they have to file what is called flight plans. These flight plans have been already produced for these pilots to fly prescribed routes. So when the plane takes off, let's say from Honolulu, they take off, and the moment that plane is airloft, the control tower says to the pilot, United too heavy, contact departure. The moment, and they say, Roger. And the moment they do that, they switch over, and they say, Honolulu departure, United too heavy. And they say, United too heavy, go to 110 degree. And they click it. And then from there on, these guys are just trick of, go to 130, go to 150, go to 160. And the people on the ground controlling that big bird in the sky. Because that big bird in the sky cannot see all the traffic that's around them. Those with the radar can. This is how we need to be. That God will tell us, this is where I want you to go. This is the way, walk ye in it. Stop bucking me. This is the way, walk ye in it. Stop resisting. But the last time I went down there, they had dogs. Keep going there. You know, last time I went there, you know, you still got the kingdom of your past operating. This is the day the Lord hath made. It's a new day. Doesn't matter how much time they fly back and forth from the coast to Hawaii. If they had 10 days of turbulence, that doesn't mean it's going to be 20 more days of turbulence. See, turbulence is just part of life. And this is what we need to understand. And when we understand this, that the God of all creation sent his son, and his son said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things that you're going to need. Food, clothing, housing, transportation, job, all these things that you need shall be added to you. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for sharing things with us. We honor you. We love you. Help us to be better salt and light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.